Mark Jackson joins us on Sports Byline USA. Fine point guard when he played in the NBA for 17 seasons with seven teams, and seven of those 17 seasons was with the New York Knicks, and he went on to have a very successful NBA broadcasting career with ESPN and ABC, and he's now jumped into coaching and is the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. You know, Mark, over the years I have found in talking to athletes that what they are is where they came from, and in your case, you grew up in Brooklyn. Tell me a little bit of what that was like.
Well, the first 7 years of my life, I was a kid living in East New York in Brooklyn, and really was a kid with a lot of dreams, aspirations, wanted to become a professional basketball player, but just followed around my older brothers, learned so much from them. And then actually at the age of seven, moved to Queens, New York, where I really began to pursue basketball and tried out for a basketball team. Was the last guy on the team, had an opportunity to watch and learn. And there's where the dream really began to propel into something that I thought I could do, and I wasn't good initially, but through hard work and dedication, was able to accomplish the dream.
You certainly did gain a reputation as a street baller. Explain to everybody what a street baller is.
Well, really, a street baller is a guy that plays in the playgrounds, has a tremendous reputation as far as basketball is concerned in the playgrounds all day, every day. Not really fundamentally playing basketball the way it's supposed to be played, but just finding a way to get it done and by any means necessary. Actually, my younger brother, who passed away last year, he was a N1 mixtape playground legend by the name of Escalade, and extremely proud of what he was able to accomplish. But it's a different brand of basketball, and not many guys are able to cross over and be effective on both sides of the table.
And why is that? Because, you know, there are a lot of legends that came out of New York on the playgrounds. Helicopter Herman is one of the ones that I certainly do remember. You mentioned about your brother. But what is it about the greatness of being able to play on the playgrounds that does not translate then over to a more formal setting like professional basketball?
I really think you got to be able to turn it on and turn it off as far as there's certain things that you're able to do in the playgrounds that it does not translate to real basketball. One thing is carrying the basketball. And also on the playgrounds, when it's point game, you're trying to get to the cup by any means necessary. So you have an opportunity to take the ball out 9, 10, 11 times when you get fouled, and you keep the ball on your side of the court, and it's just a different brand of basketball. When you're talking about stepping it up a notch, now teams force you to do things that that's your weak point, and you got to find a way to get it done. You're not going to just overpower people, so you have to make more adjustments, like anything in life, when you get to the next level.
I asked Al Addles that question one time, and he said something very interesting, Mark. He said a lot of those players could not play system basketball. Was he right about that, and what was he talking about?
Well, system basketball is 5-on-5, making proper adjustments, like I talked about. When you get to the next level, opposition, they're going to make adjustments to force you to do things that you're not used to doing. In the playgrounds, you're used to going to option A and forcing people to make an adjustment, and when they do, you continue to be successful with option A. When you talk about elevating talent-wise and opposition, now all of a sudden you have to go to B, C, and D. And because of the playgrounds, because the inability to play in system basketball, you don't have that trick up your sleeve, and you're pretty much exposed, and it's too late to try to acquire it.
When you take a look at basketball played at that particular level, is there a lack of discipline there that is missing that you have to have at the next level, whether it be college or in pro basketball?
Now, I wouldn't really say that, because there's some great street and playground legends that are very disciplined. I think in order to be a great player, you're pretty much disciplined. But at the same time, discipline does not just mean on the basketball court. You got to be disciplined enough to work your tail off every single day before and after practice. You got to work your tail off in between practice when you're tired, making sure you're early and stay late. Disciplined enough to compete on both ends of the floor. Disciplined enough to understand that it takes a total team effort to find a way to get the job done, and you have to lead by example and be disciplined enough to take criticism also.
Let me give you a scenario, and I want you to tell me what you think of. It's a summer night in New York City. It's been 95 degrees, 95% relative humidity. The sun is going down. There's five guys' shirts, five guys' skins, and they're on a blacktop, and they're playing a pickup game. Pick it up from there. What's that really like, Mark?
A lot of trash talking, that's first and foremost. You don't have a pickup game in New York City without trash talking. You identify immediately who the baddest dude on the court is just by his game. There's a pecking order. You understand it, but it's a battle. It's a grind, and I think what happens is you also have guys on that floor that are much younger than the oldest guys on the court because they've earned the right to be on that court, and that's why you see so many successful point guards come out of New York City because they played against old school guys since they were younger. But what you see in that is an all-out war as far as the game of basketball is concerned, and guys willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that they stay on because they're well aware of the fact that if you lose in the playgrounds, you're pretty much sitting there probably four, five, six games down waiting for the next opportunity, and you don't want that.
You stayed at home to play your college basketball, starring at St. John's University, and two people really came into your life that were instrumental. One was your coach, Lou Carnesecca, the man who wears a sweater all of his life while he was coaching. And the other, of course, was Chris Mullen, who you had a chance to play with for 1 year. When you met Lou for the first time, tell me what your impression was of him.
Well, I can remember watching him at my games when I was at Bishop Laughlin High School in Brooklyn, New York, and the first time he came to watch Chris Mullen, who was at the rival school, and he was signed to go to St. John's. So Coach Carnesecca was actually there watching Chris and witnessed, you know, me battling and grinding, 2 years younger, but competing. And from that day forward, began to recruit me. But I from day one, I realized I wasn't knocked out because of his expertise or his knowledge of the game of basketball. That came, you know, without saying. But the bottom line is the thing that stood out to me is the smile, the contagious personality, his love for life, just a great, great human being. And he was consistent from the first day I met him to the day. And he's just been incredible. And I couldn't have made a better decision than to go and be coached and taught by Coach Lou Carnesecca.
How about the first time you saw Chris Mullen play?
Watched him in high school, competed against him, heard so much about him, didn't know until the first time we stepped on the court against each other, and then right away I realized this guy is absolutely spectacular. I'm truly honored and excited that he was inducted in the Basketball Hall of Fame, well-deserved, but a guy that can shoot the basketball as good as anybody that's ever played the game, laced him up, quality human being. A brother, a guy that I love, and I would not have made it to the league had I not gone to St. John's and played one-on-one and spent many hours day in and day out with Chris Mullen because I learned how to be a gym technician instead of just a gym rat in the gym dribbling the ball and getting up shots. I worked towards getting better.
You know, it's interesting you say that because it's one thing to have athletic ability, as you know, Mark. It's another thing to understand and be able to play the game both mentally and physically. What was it that he told you about the mental part that stayed with you?
Well, we really didn't, you know, we spent so much time in the gym that it wasn't really talking. We just picked each other apart. We learned from one another. And I just learned, you know, I was never a incredibly athletic gifted guy. I couldn't jump out the building. I wasn't the fastest guy. And for the first time in my life, I found somebody that was effective that had the same limitations as me. And it gave me an opportunity to really, really believe I can really do this because this guy is the best player on the floor and he's not the fastest, can't jump the highest, not a great defender, but he's dominating everybody on the court. And it gave me an opportunity to believe that it can be done.
We only have a minute before we have to break, but you were the 18th pick of the 87 draft by the New York Knicks. Now, when you get drafted by your home team, I'm sure there's a lot of exhilaration, but there are pros and cons that go along with playing professional basketball in your hometown. Tell me about the thought process, and what were those pros and cons for you, Mark?
Well, to me, there wasn't any cons because I was a kid that dreamed about playing for the New York Knicks as a young fella. Thought about lacing them up and playing in Madison Square Garden and putting on a Knick uniform. For me, the great thing was I was playing for the guy who I believe is the best coach I ever played for, and Rick Pitino, who's now coaching my oldest son at the University of Louisville. So that was a dream come true. Handed me the basketball from day one and gave me an opportunity. It was incredible to play in front of elementary school classmates, teachers, principals, people that I grew up in the neighborhood. These people were at the arena, so it wasn't like I was playing in front of 20,000, you know, fans or strangers. These were people that have that had watched me grow and develop and watched me dream to be in this position, and it was absolutely an incredible experience and one I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
Mark Jackson is with us on Sports Byline, head coach of the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about his playing career in the NBA, but also he has a very interesting life off the court as well. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.